Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Be glad all of our days. And may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hand. John 14:26, Revelation 21:4, Isaiah 4:41-10, as we continue from last week. The death of one that belongs to the Lord is precious in His sight. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Put your name in it. Remember what I said about making it personal? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Then it says this, Revelation, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's coming. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Father, thank you again for the confidence that you know the end from the beginning, and that you do all things well, and you turn all things to the good. So, Lord, we ask you to bless this morning. Give us ears to hear what you would say to us. And we thank you, Father, in advance for that revelation in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. So do not fear. I am with you, even to the ends of the earth. This morning, we're going to continue part two. We've gone through this whole message this year where as we've said, 2016, the year of grace and mercy. Each one of those are so very, very much a part. In fact, that was one of the greetings that was shared in the Christian community. Grace and mercy of God be with you. In that, we have seen in John chapter 16 and Romans 8, I told you this so that you may have peace in me. Shalom, that sense of resting in me. Here on earth, you're going to have problems. But take heart. That means don't let yourself be robbed, because I've overcome the world. And then in Romans it says, and we know that God makes all things work together for good of those who love Him and are according to the purpose for them. Very, very, very important verse. And I'm going to elaborate on that then. You know that life happens, as we said last week. It happens. And it unfolds. And there is, like I said, life, in this life you will have challenges. Dear friends, 1 Peter 4:12, don't be surprised if these challenges you go through, if something strange were happening to you. Therefore, Matthew 6, do not worry about tomorrow. How many people worried last week? What part of do not don't you understand? Not. That's right, good. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough challenges of its own. And today we continue when heaven invades earth, and we remember this, and I left Annie's picture up. Remember, next week has been shared. Very, very special time. We're going to be the hostesses of this, and we're going to see a major, major blessing of the Lord for Anne and the people that loved her throughout this area. And when heaven invades life, part two. We hear all this thing about life. Had a good life, had a difficult life, had a challenging life, had a great life, get a life, life is good, the challenges of life, and all that. About this world, this particular word, life. And life is one of those nebulous words that it's difficult to explain in the context of the word unless you go back to the original language. We said that life is the interval of time between one's birth and death, the course of actions and events of an individual that occur in living, the unfolding of favorable and unfavorable experiences that make up the existence of a person. What was your life like? You look back over the years. That has been your life. Your life has not ended yet, so there is more life here on earth. That life has been given by God for a purpose. You know, it is one of the, when you get into philosophies and really the depth of a man's question. You know what the greatest question is? What's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life? And philosophers and theologians and all the people who think they know what they're talking about, how would you think about it yourself? How would you define if someone came up to you and say, what is the meaning of life? It'd be hard to answer. What? What's the meaning of life? Is it to have a bunch of money? Is it to accrue as much as you possibly can? Is it to somehow change the world? You want to know what my understanding is? What's the meaning of life? A lot of people say, and it's a good response, the meaning of life is to love. Sounds good, and it's true. But I don't think that's the meaning of life. And I've not heard it from anyone else. I think the meaning of life is to be reconnected, reestablished with your Creator. That's why God gave us life, to live with Him and to dwell in His presence and to experience that relationship with Him. I've never heard this before. But I asked the Lord asked me, what do you think about the meaning of life? We were created for a purpose, according to God's word, and that was to live with Him for eternity. And then, as you remember, it got messed up. So now that it's messed up, do we just forget it? Because when it was messed up, there was no way for us men to get back into that definition of why God gave us life. There was no way. And of course, we as Christians recognize that God was reaching out through the Old Testament and then began in the New Testament with the ultimate connection, and that was through Jesus Christ. I believe the meaning of life is to allow what we were created for to be realized. And you can use it too, because I believe that that's the answer. We have been reconnected with Jesus Christ. when we ask him to be our Savior. But now what? Now that we've been connected, once you'd say that, once you are, you've been engrafted into the branch. And if you die, at any moment, you're going to heaven. And you will have fulfilled what the life that God has given to you. That's wonderful. It's great to be able to know that. But you're still here. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you weren't raptured or taken or fell asleep. There's a reason. Because in this process continuing life, there is the desire of the Lord to be able to bring greater revelation that has been lost down through the generations back into us. Do you know that we know more about God than Paul did? Or those in the Old Testament? The Bible says, they said that John the Baptist, who's the one that baptized Jesus, was the last of the... How many of you know that's a pretty good, important position? Baptizing Jesus Christ. But do you know it says that John the Baptist was less great than the least Christian. He was the best of all the prophets in the Old Testament. But he was less in power, authority, anointing, and everything else than the least of the Christian, because he was not, just like the Old Testament, they were not infilled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came on the prophets in the Old Testament, and then it left. But with us, the least Christian, the most sinful Christian, who has accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, was greater than John the Baptist, because we've accepted Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has come within us. So when we realize that there is more life to go that's going on here, there is a purpose, and we've been talking about this whole year, and that is to come into greater understanding, which was the God had purposed through the very beginning, through the whole Bible, and that was to reveal himself. So the wonderful thing about where we are right now, that you're still alive after you have fulfilled the meaning of life, is to receive greater revelation. God wants to show you more of himself. And that's why you're still down here. There's more revelation of Jesus Christ that is available to you because God has not taken you home. Somewhere along the line, in that revelation process, something kicks in. Something, and there is, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the desire to share the goodness of the Lord. That's called ministry. God has called us not only to establish that relationship with him, and I'm sharing it with you, and I pray that you know this already, but those online, God has created us for that relationship with him, but it does not stop in that horizontal or vertical relationship. If you think about it, why was Jesus hung on a cross? The cross represented something. It wasn't an X. It wasn't a pole. It was a cross, right? And it represented the vertical relationship with man and God, and then the horizontal relationship of man with man. Interesting, huh? There's a lot of Christians that, well, that's interesting. Everything that God does is interesting, but it's not a coinkydink. I like that word. Not very intellectual, but it's fun to say. So in that situation, the more we know of God, the more we want to minister, because that's exactly what happened with Jesus. He had to come down, not only to save us, but he wanted to bring the revelation of who God was, is, to us, his creation. We went through the whole thing last week, and I'm not going through it again. There was a time and a season for everything under heaven. There's a season. So what we say to people, if you're in a difficult season, it's going to end, because that's the way God is. The only thing that's not going to end is eternity. But there is a season, and that you're in a good season, well, it's going to end. I know people walk around and say, oh, man, it's just a matter of time. Well, wonderful man and woman of faith that you are. Because we recognize that whatever season that we're in, God's provision is in direct proportion to our area of need. And I'm going to share with you in just a moment that those challenging seasons are for a purpose. Everybody say hallelujah. I'm saying hallelujah for the challenging season. Can you say hallelujah for the challenging season? Huh? If you know God, you would. You could. Hallelujah for the challenging season. They're going to happen no matter whether you say hallelujah or oy vey. Every season, activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot. All of the processes. I plant a tomato. I go out the next day. I'm looking for tomatoes. There are no tomatoes. I water it. I go out the next day. There's no tomatoes. How come there's no tomatoes, God? I planted the seed. I water it. And nothing happens. Well, I guess I got a bad seed, or somehow or another, maybe the tomato God doesn't like me. There's no tomato God. So I go back and water it a couple more times. I go back out, and there's no tomatoes. And I'm getting very discouraged, because I like tomatoes. And I've done everything that the thing says to do. Get soil, right? Put some manure in it, or whatever, chicken manure, or whatever you do, fertilizer, because fertilizer happens. You put the seed in it, good seed, yes, cover it up, water it, tomatoes. I've done it all. There's no tomatoes. Forget about it. I'm not going to water anymore because there's no tomatoes. I'm done. Isn't that so often the way our lives are? It's not happening. So now I don't even believe there's going to be a tomato in there. Well, I might decide to water. I'll water it. I'll water it. Okay, it says water it. I'm watering. And I go out and nothing happens. But if we are persistent, all of a sudden a little thing comes up, a little plant. And you look at it and say, where's the tomatoes? Right? And you know, it sounds funny, but that when you apply it to life, God, I ask for tomatoes and you give me this little stump. But if you recognize that there is a process in each season, then you do not grow weary in well-doing, because you're going to get tomatoes if you don't give up. There is a time. God always does stuff in a process. And the reason why he does that is there are things in... Do you know that that tomato, if it came up very quick like that, it would probably die? Because there would not be a root system. Every once in a while we get mushrooms in our... Overnight. Wow! There's a mushroom. Some of them are even big mushrooms. Overnight. Say, well, if I were into mushroom, that'd be cool. But then you go, and I don't like mushrooms in my yard. So I kick them off, and they fall right over. You know why? There's no roots. In order for the tomato plant, I have no idea why. God works in mysterious. In order for the tomato plant to be able to grow tomatoes, the roots have to go down so that they absorb the nutrients in the manure. The reason why we don't get everything we want right away is we have to absorb the nutrients in the manure. Manure happens, doesn't it? And if we don't allow those nutrients to be able to be brought into the roots, our foundational principles, we're not going to produce tomatoes. And by the way, just so you know, the tomato has nothing to do with the plant. In fact, if I leave the tomato on the vine, it'll die. The tomato has nothing to do with the plant. The tomato is used to produce more tomatoes. It's got seeds in there to carry on what this tomato plant would do. Now, I like to eat them before they can produce other tomatoes. But I'm very happy because that tomato, I was able to pick from that tomato something that this plant, a tomato plant, that this thing produced for me, and I like it. There's nothing like a homegrown tomato. How the Lord, and I've said this before, I think, how the Lord changes manure into tomatoes, I have no idea. But if you think of it as a Christian, manure happens. In your life, we're going to talk about the challenging times in your life. You may consider that manure. If the tomato plant says, I'm not taking this, go plant me somewhere where there's no manure. That's not going to produce tomatoes, all right? But what happens is that tomato plant says, bring in the manure because there's stuff in this manure that's going to help me produce tomatoes. That's what the Christian is supposed to do. Lord, I've been stuck in manure. I want the ingredients of that manure to change, to develop fruit for your kingdom. And if you get that process, you got it. And that what we have been put on this earth for is to bear fruit. Good fruit. Fruit that will last. I got to go quickly. Life is to be filled with heaven. We have heard about life. Matthew, therefore, don't worry. In Luke it says, if you worry, you can't add a single hour to your life. James says, persevere under trial, under manure. For when you have stood the test, you will produce great tomatoes. Remember, O God, my life is but a breath. Though you have in Psalm 71, verse 20, you will restore my life again. 89, verse 7 says, how fleeting is my life. And then Matthew 10, and anyone who loses life will, for my sake, find his life. When you're looking for life in the wrong places, you will lose your life. But if you're looking for life in the right places, you will find life. Direction from the Word. Be joyful. We said last week, joyful means to be well. Let me just read that verse one time. No matter what, be joyful no matter what. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances of life. This is the way God wants you wants those in Christ Jesus to deal with life. The word joyful, Paul talking to the church in Thessalonica, is to me, be well. Be calm, no matter what. Pray, continuing. Be composed, no matter what. Rest, no matter what. We are told to do all these things as we deal with the challenges of life. How many of you know that it's not easy at times? It's not easy to be calm when accidents happen. It's not easy to be calm when there are separations or sicknesses or things that are beyond our control. It's not easy to rest when things all around us are up in upheaval. And it's not easy to feel good when you've lost a loved one. We talked about this all last week. How many know that you can be right in the center of God's will and have everything not go the way you want it to? And I gave examples last week. Also, the truth about life. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's hard for some people to understand. But what Jesus is saying in this situation is, take heart, I've got control over the challenges that you're going through. And I promise you, you will not be overwhelmed with them. But I will show you how in that process to produce tomatoes. You hear what I'm saying? Do you want me to go to another fruit? And know that God causes all circumstances to work together for the good, for your good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Jesus on life, he says, the thief has come to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Life. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. What he was basically saying is the enemy has come to kill, steal, and rob your psyche, which is the soul part. He wants to mess with your mind. He wants to make you depressed. He wants you to make you debilitated. He's come to see. Both of those words in the English are called, translated as life. But one thing is more important than the other. When we are led by our psuche, the soul, then the enemy he wants to steal that. He wants to rob us. He wants to make us depressed, discouraged, to give up, and all the other things. Be aware of that, Jesus said. But I have come to give you Zoe. Zoe conquers everything because it has to deal with the spirit. And when your spirit is controlled, the psyche cannot manipulate you. You may go through a moment of challenge. But then the spirit man says, and this is what, by the way, this is what Zoe means. Fullness, victory, abounding, dynamic, destiny. The enemy comes to want to mess with your mind. Because if he can get your mind, he's got you. If he can get into your head, then he can control everything. And the only way that you circumvent that is that when your spirit man says hell no and heaven yes. And that is Zoe life. I choose what God says, not what my soul says, mind, will, and emotions. If the enemy has your soul, he can get to your body. You hear what I'm saying? He can destroy your body if your head's not screwed on straight. Fear, depression, anxiety, all these things that have an effect on the body. It starts in the mind. That's where it is, the battle for our minds. But the spirit man, you can't, you've heard me say many times, you can't defeat the enemy in your soul. You can't defeat the enemy in your body. I know people that are under stress and they go out and they start running. Well, that's good. It's good to work off stress by doing physical exercise. Wonderful. Whatever that way might be. But how many of you know stress is going to come back again? So what are you going to do, spend your whole time on your bicycle? It'd be nice. I'm going to ride my bicycle all my life. Work off the stress. That's why Jesus says, don't be overwhelmed, because that stress is going to come back again. And if you don't know how to deal with stress, it will get the better of you. And what will happen, you'll start reaching out for things that are beyond your control. Whether it be riding bicycles all your life, running all your life, doing everything we possibly can, that the only time that I feel good is when I'm riding my bicycle. Or I'm jogging. And I know people like that. They miss a day riding their bicycle or jogging and they feel like, oh my God, I feel like I've just been hit by a truck. Right? That's the way it is. I don't care what it is. Anything to be able to deal with the pressures of stress and whatever, because the a lot of people, they get into drugs because of the stress. They can't cope. They get into alcohol because they can't cope. They get into all manners of things because they can't cope. And the Lord says, you can't cope because you're not allowing the anointing on your spirit to break the spirit of your psyche attack. Does that make sense? Well, whether it does or not, it's the truth. And the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Fullness, victory. God says, I have come to give you victory. And if we say and learn, hell no and heaven yes, given examples of how God, we talked about that last week. Be joyful. This is the way in situations, this is the way God wants those in Christ to deal with life. To deal with life is that means you have to deal with it. It doesn't supernaturally, spiritually come upon you. God wants us involved in the correct process of saying, here's the attack, but I'm going to deal with it according to God's word. He doesn't supernaturally force us to defeat the powers of the enemy. He says, that's your responsibility. I've defeated him already. Now the attacks are there. They're going to come, not because he isn't defeated, but because I want to show you that the attacks against you are defeated. And the only way we do this is that you lay hold of what I've told you about the enemy and who you are in Christ. And he wants us to learn what it means to defeat the enemy in our life so we can minister. Tomato. We got a tomato ministry that defeats the power of the enemy in other people's lives. I had to write a book. The Life of a Tomato and How It Applies to the Christian. I think it's already been done, but it's another fruit. We've talked about, therefore, always be confident. It is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither can entered into the heart of man the things that God has for them. Next, doing good. Turn to somebody and say, we're on time. Next, I want to talk about this. When heaven invades life, what's the purpose of it? We know, what's the purpose of this heaven invaded life? We know what the purpose is when the enemy invades life, right? Yeah. When the enemy invades your life, it's to rob, kill, and to destroy. It's to neutralize you. It's to bring you to a place of being debilitated. But what happens? What's the purpose of life, which is filled with situations? What's the purpose? What is God up to when heaven is released into life? How many want to know? What's the purpose when heaven invades life? I'm going to go through very quickly. When heaven invades life, it is to cause us to regain our focus. I don't know about you, but when Ann passed, which is my biggest challenge in the last month, God, why did you do this? I don't really say that, but I mean, it's just like, a lot of people say, Pastor, why did God take Ann? And I comfort and stuff. But in the initial stages, when I got the call from Pat, as she explained last week, I went, oh, what? And as spiritual as you think I am, I did not say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I went, oh. And it was something that just sort of knocked the air out of me. And when God, I'll tell you what, I'm doing a lot of praying more for all the things so that, not for necessarily for me, but that the reason that God took Ann at this particular time, that it will be impacting and influential and cause what happened to be able to get into our lives. And for all those that will be coming next week that are saying, oh my gosh, and over these last week, 2 weeks, you can't imagine, Pastor, oh my gracious, you must be, and you allow people to console you. But my purpose in that consolation is to share what the reason for this is. And that is to cause us to refocus on what's the priorities of life. And everybody say, well, did I love Ann enough? I appreciate you and all the stuff? Did I? And my encouragement next Sunday will be that we're not focused on, I mean, that's not our thing. Because you will always, who do you think's telling you, the person that said, did you thank Ann enough? Did you show her appreciation? And then you go into remorse, which complicates the issue of Ann's passing. And instead of, everybody cough right now. 1, 2, 3. That makes it a joint issue. And instead of being able to rejoice in what God has done for Ann, it's all about you. Whether it's my loss, it's my thing that I had to go through, it's my fault, or I didn't say and I wish I said and I didn't, and whatever. And there's all of a sudden there is instead of a time of sorrow that she's not present with us, there becomes a condemnation by the enemy that ruins the whole thing of death, where is your sting? But what it does do also is it brings things back into priority. What is life? What we're supposed to do is savor every moment, to understand that each moment is important. And you can't walk around and say, well, I want to make sure I've got everything, and the next 5 minutes, I'm going to get to rejoice and do all that kind of stuff. It's just the perspective is the next thing. How many people will say, my gracious, it's August. What happened? What we've done, unless you go back and see the highlights within the, what God has done, it's just like life is gone. It causes us to regain focus. The purpose is to lead us to prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Sometimes there are situations when we're going through challenges that we have to get God into that situation or we become very discouraged. God turns all things to the good. And how you do that is to get God into it. This past week in praying, Lord, let there be a sense of the revelation of your goodness where so many may be saying, God, why did you do that? How could God take Anne? She was so much better than I am and so forth and whatever. Lord, don't allow that manipulation. I don't have to pray for Anne anymore. I know where she's at. I'm praying for us and for me. Lord, don't allow my selfishness, I'm sorry I have to say it that way, to turn the focus of what you're desiring to do. Causes us to pray more. And also teaches us to rest. I know people who have lost people, and it's understandable. But they get into some emotional kind of thing which happens, and that's okay for a season. But what God is trying to say to us in the midst of the situation of the invasion, and it's not just about losing someone, it's in any kind of invasion of heaven. That process is extremely important. Extremely important that we recognize that God wants us to come to the place of resting, to not go on automatic, to emotionally become overwhelmed. I don't want that. In the midst of the situation, that we understand that God's saying, your emotions I place within you. But I don't want those emotions to overwhelm your spirit, man. Be still and know that I am God. It also teaches us to trust. Trusting, lack of trust, distrust means holding on. Trust says, I'm letting go because I trust you, God. I told you the wheelbarrow story. Can't tell you again. Well, if you trust me, like he said to Peter, trust me. Peter says, I trust you, Lord. Ask me to come. Jump out of the boat. Start walking on the water. You can't trust God if you're holding on to things he says, let go. And if we're overwhelmed with the circumstances of life and we're allowing those to dictate to our life, you're holding on. God can only receive what you let go. And the scriptures that will be online and also, cast all your anxieties upon me, for I care for you. The next cause, it causes us to press into God. Challenges are for a purpose of causing us to get into God. Lord, I need you more. I have a void in my mind, in my spirit. I just use Anne. Anne is no longer with us. She was an incredible part of our family. Her function was something that was vital for us. Lord, we're asking you to fill that void. We're asking you, Lord. Because there are no gaps. You know what holiness means? God is holy, right? It means no gaps. No gaps. There's no voids, no, it's all connected. It's seamless in every aspect of God's nature. It causes a deeper understanding of relationship with the Lord. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And the other verses, it causes us to press into God. It causes us to declare God's word. And I've been telling you, circumstances don't always line up with God's word. So what we do is we declare, because you have been given permission to change things. Lord, I speak that the spirit of robbery, it's no longer allowed to manifest itself. The spirit of confusion, the spirit of morbidity, the spirit of mourning. Mourning may endure for a night. Did you know that there is a spirit of mourning? Nobody, yes? There is a spirit of mourning. Every negative thing that happens in this world today, it comes about through the powers of the enemy. Mourning is okay. But when we are mourning outside of God's presence and peace, the spirit of mourning can come in. And what it does, it carries on that process that goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and it controls people's lives. We're never to not mourn, of course. But unless we understand that joy comes in the morning, there's a time for mourning and there's a time to get on with life. We'll never stop missing that person or longing for that person or stop loving for that person. But when the spirit of mourning is controlling our lives, it will debilitate you, and that's not what God has. Next, it causes us, our faith to grow. We're looking, just like I said, Anne was so much a part of our family, of our ministry. When someone passes, I would send Anne to go and interview the person to help me write the eulogy of that person. She would go and she would interview and she would spend time with the people and the kids and whatever, and they would sit down and they would discuss, they would talk about things in their life and some of the good, funny things and whatever. It was an awesome part of my ministry in that particular situation. The passing situation. She's not there, here. I've got to write the eulogy myself, and I will. And I've always did the, she gathered the facts, she put it together in a wonderful way in her, but she would present it to me, and then I would go back and tweak it. She's not here. I can't say, Ann, come down and write your eulogy. So what I do is I have to have faith that God's going to share with me so that I'll have the, and you wait, because I know my God, because I have faith in Him that just like this memorial service is going to be overwhelming, the eulogy, the sharing, the whole, the music, everything is going to be fantastic, because God wants to honor it. But I go back on the same thing in your life. The situations when you're going through, God says, I want to show you. I want your faith to grow. And do you know? There was a season. We're going through a season, and I just, as I said, you have to put this and apply it to yourself. We're going through a season of mourning for Anne. You're going through a season of whatever that might be. But that season is going to end. And God says, have faith in me. This too will pass. And all of a sudden, I've even had people already who've already entered into this thing saying, you know, thinking about Anne and who she was, you know, I want to be like her when I grow up. I want to be like her. And that's the positive sense after the mourning of the situation has now begun to bear fruit. I think back on her and I watch and her smile and her commitment and her all the things, and it just, she always affirmed me. She always did this. Wow. That's what I want to be like. And it causes us to have faith, looking for God for the answers. God's going to fill the void. I told this one preacher, great ministry, during our renewal service, and he was boasting, had a tremendous ministry. And when we bring people in, the prophets and stuff, I did a lot of counseling through the process, because they typically don't have pastors, or they do, but they're traveling around all the time. So part of my ministry was to, you know, run them through the sheep dip. And this one was leaning a little bit towards self. Tremendous ministry. And I said, I had a glass of water I was drinking from. And I said to him, I pushed the glass over to him. He said, no, thank you. I said, let me tell you something. What I want you to do is put your finger in that glass, in the water. Okay, Pastor? I said, look at it. I said, now, ready? Yeah? Take your finger out. I said, where's the hole? Which means, if you're not here, God's going to do it some other way. While your finger is there, that's fantastic. But just don't get so heady, because if you pull your finger out, there's not going to be a hole left in the earth. God will always fill that hole. And it causes us to know that faith grows into our. And the last one is, it causes to cause locations for the Lord, occasions I should say, for the Lord to show us his love and compassion. He knows what it means. God knows what it means to love, to lose someone. He understands the compassion that is necessary to comfort us when we lose or going through difficult situations. He uses those opportunities to reveal himself that cannot be revealed when everything is going well. He's the God of compassion. And in those situations, he's standing by saying, let me show you. Let me come alongside to support, encourage you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our testings. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Every one of these areas are not to be left in the situation where what the enemy has purposed for the challenges. But we're supposed to look for the purposes that God has in the midst of the situation. And when you do, and you're following these areas and say this is the natural unfolding, then we say, God, your ways are perfect. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for taking Anne. Thank you for help us walk through that situation or the challenges of life, because your purpose is to lead me into a greater understanding of who you are and your love for me. Amen. Amen. Bow with me as we close. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and mercy that abounds. Thank you for your purposes and plans that are far beyond our understanding. Thank you, Lord, that we can rest in the assurance that you do all things well. Heaven is supposed to invade life. Heaven presses hell out. And when we look through heaven's eyes, we see all of the things that God does to turn these things to the good and to bear fruit in our life. I want you to take a moment and talk to God. Okay? What is it? Thank you, Lord. And throughout this week, throughout the circumstances, we're going to rejoice in you. Because you know, God, we don't want rotten tomatoes. We want people to watch our movie and have good tomatoes and see the popcorn thing filled, right? That's what it is with the Lord. And everybody said amen. We're going to close with a video this morning. Why don't you stand? Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Watch this. You'll like it.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the
He's amazing. Amen. He can't help it. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amazing. Do you know that clapping hands is a form of worship? Now, let's say you worship the Lord again. Give a clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Take your neighbor's hand this morning, this afternoon, and let's agree together. Father, thank you again for your amazingness. Amazing means we can't even comprehend. Sometimes that's the only word we can use to be able to describe who you are. You're amazing. Amazing. Lord, work your amazingness on my brother and my sister throughout this next week. I pray for grace. I pray for your mercy. I pray for your provision. I pray for health. I pray for protection. I pray for your Holy Spirit to manifest itself, Himself, in a way that will meet their every need. In Jesus' name, let your hands, neighbor's hand go, lift your hands before the Lord. Lord, we lift our hands to you. And by the way, lifting of the hands is another way of worshiping the Lord. We lift our hands to you, Jesus, Almighty God, the glory and the lifter of our heads. It's hard to lift your hands and bow your head at the same time. Doesn't work. You're the glory and the lifter of our heads because we know you are who you say you are. And throughout this next week, as we look to you, we look for you, God, you're going to show yourself strong. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we thank you, Father, as we approach next Sunday, where a wonderful time of celebrating our Ann. Thank you for what you're going to do, and we bless you for a victorious week. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise the offering to the Lord. Turn around, give somebody a hug. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service. Or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.